You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Joining us once again is Mr. Jonathan Citrin, who is a speaker, author, and financial advisor. Mr. Citrin has been a financial advisor for over 15 years and has been a public speaker since 2004 and has traveled the world giving lectures and presentations to audiences that include multinational conferences, business professionals, students, and private groups. Today, Mr. Citrin will be discussing improved forecasting for business success and learning from the 2016 presidential election. Mr. Citrin, welcome back to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me. Always great to be here. And, you read my intro there, and it makes me feel old, but I'll give it a shot here.
Well, let's just say that with age comes wisdom, and no one's old in this house today. But great to have you back with us. Now, as we know, entrepreneurs and businesses rely on forecasts, and with the upcoming presidential inauguration this Friday, it seems fitting to ask if there is opportunity to become better at forecasting by analyzing the 2016 presidential election, the far-off predictions, and therein the unexpected results as we saw in November with the presidential election.
I appreciate the intro, segue there, because it is my fear that as this inauguration gets closer and happens here in the next few days or so, that, you know, everyone's talking about Congress and about the Supreme Court and about policy and about rolling back healthcare or Obamacare, if you will, and no one is talking about how wrong the pollsters were, and therein the pundits on television talking about the polls. I do know that the pollsters themselves will be analyzing that, you know, their own work and their information and making tweaks to their modeling. But I think there's an opportunity here for a greater conversation. Why do we rely so heavily on this modeling in the first place? It is my sincere hope, and obviously the reason I'm here talking with you today, that we can create a larger conversation about why modeling exists in the first place and whether or not it warrants its use going forward. Because otherwise, as you are aware, what will happen is the pollsters will tweak their models and tell us that they've learned from their mistakes, and we'll move forward and everybody will start to trust them again. And as time goes on, we'll just keep hitting this big, hurdle in the road, this boulder on the road of their error over and over again, unless we ask the fundamental question, which is, why the heck are we doing this modeling in the first place if it has the potential to be so wrong?
Now, as we dig into prediction and forecasting, can you just take a step back and discuss why we predict in the first place? That is, if there is a possibility of being wrong, why do we even forecast at all?
You know, I'll tell you that I always dichotomize it into two reasons as to why we predict. And my background started in finance and building portfolios, and then I segued from finance into the larger role of being a speaker and author for this very reason, or at least because of the realization that I had. The first, I think, is we forecast and poll and predict to assess. It is plenty fine in my mind for the Federal Reserve to want to assess the state of the economy to try to do their best to steer things in the right direction. I think that for a business owner to want to put out a poll, as an example, to see if a product is going to have some strength, if there's going to be demand for a product, I think that is plenty fine too. Another great example of polling or forecasting would be for a store to look at demographics and geography in terms of where they want to open their store, rather than just going to the place that happens to be down the street from their home. So I think that there are research reasons why we do polling and forecasting. The issue comes in when we do it purely for the sake of prediction. And that's the second reason why we do it, and unfortunately tends to drive the larger conversation around forecasting and predicting, or polling, which is predicting. And the reason why we predict in general, when we know that certain things, most things are really out of our control, is for that very reason. We want to feel like we know. We want to feel like we're in control. The business owner who has this amazing business plan and comes to me and says, "Hey, I need you to consult with me on my plan, and I want to know what you think of it." My initial comment will always be, "Well, you have not accommodated for randomness in your predictions. This idea that we can forecast things perfectly into the future is something that's just completely lost on me." And I think that it drives the larger conversation, or I'm sorry, the larger storyline, I should say, as to why we try to poll in the first place. There are great uses of forecasting and polling when it comes to learning and studying a certain genre, demographic, if you will. But when it comes to predicting, that's where we fall short, because you really cannot predict the future despite how certain people sometimes seem.
Also, to analyze the presidential election a bit more plainly, why were so many polls so wrong with their predictions?
I'm glad to dig into this, the meat of the presidential election itself. So thank you for leading me in that direction. As I alluded to a little bit earlier, you're going to see the pollsters themselves. They're going to do their own analysis. They're going to commission committees and research groups to study why they got it wrong. And then they're going to, there are going to be headlines about them tweaking their models so that they can better accommodate in the future. And what I'm alluding to there is there's kind of this this myopic pollster response to, why things went wrong. And you'll hear terms like responsive bias. Non-responsive bias is, some people just don't respond to the polls. Some people don't, answer the phone. You'll hear what's something called dishonesty bias, which is people do answer the phone or their email, but they lie about, their answers. And that was a big one in this past election. People said, the voters that supported Trump were disengaged with the system, and so they refused to respond. And when they did respond, they didn't want to be honest with the pollster. So, there's some validity to what happened on the ground with this last polling effort. But the problem therein, Eric, is that it totally overlooks two other key reasons why they got it wrong. One being confirmation bias, which is becoming more commonplace. But confirmation bias is something that happens in our brain. When we want to hear a certain result, we tend to only read and pay attention to the information that confirms that result. So you had a lot of pollsters and a lot of media people who wanted to hear that Hillary Clinton was in the lead. And so when they went out and created polls, and when they went out and read the other polls and collaborated with other pollsters, they paid attention to those that supported their bias. They confirmed their own bias by only looking at that information. Listeners, this is, business owners, this is a great opportunity in and of itself when it comes to confirmation bias, Eric, is that when you're running a business, when you're starting a business as an entrepreneur, you desperately want that business to succeed. So let's say, for example, you're selling ice cream cones. You're going to go out and look at information, and unknowingly, subconsciously, your brain is going to pay attention to the information that says, selling ice cream cones is a very successful, business to start. And it's important that entrepreneurs start to recognize that we subconsciously ignore the information that doesn't make us feel good. And, you know, there's this whole thing about, you know, the majority of small businesses fail. And I think that one of the reasons for that is because of confirmation bias. We're not truly being honest with ourselves. And then, by the way, lastly, and by no means the smallest, the reason why these polls got it wrong is the world, the future is completely unpredictable. It doesn't matter how smart your investment manager is. It doesn't matter how wise your, you know, chief financial officer is. It doesn't matter how much information you think you know. There is no way to predict the future. The wind could change direction and everything could go against you. So, you know, you have, I think, three real solid reasons there why polling failed us in this past election that can be translated into owning a business and for entrepreneurs, which, you know, we want to address here. So thank you for giving me a little extra time there to answer that question, but I wanted to give you some meat.
And much appreciated as well. Today we are joined by Mr. Jonathan Citrin, who is a speaker, author, and has been a financial advisor for over 15 years here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, Mr. Citrin, what about those that predicted the election accurately, who foresaw a Trump victory? What was it about their modeling that proved to be so successful?
Love the question. Thank you. It's just so vital to answer this question, particularly in sequence of, you know, what we've been talking about already, because here we have this tendency. I've talked about some of the other errors that we make as humans in analyzing and predicting, but what we also then do is the people who got it right, we champion them, and we look at them and say, hey, what was it about them that they got right? It may be in certain cases that there are certain polls or certain forecastings that consistently are correct more often. But what people should not forget, our listeners, of course, should not forget, is that there is something called alternative histories, or at least that's what I call it. I'm sure I stole that from somebody, but the phrase is alternative histories, and that is just because history played out in one particular way doesn't mean it's going to play out that way, or it would have played out that way every time. Let me use the presidential election as a good example. If you had that same election 100 times in 100 parallel worlds, would the results have been the same all 100 times? And the answer to that is no. Matter of fact, Hillary Clinton was predicted in most polls to be a 70, 80, 90% chance of victor. And so statistically, if I take away my bias and if I take away the outcome that we happen to see, and then I look at just the probability of occurrence, if you had that same election, let's say Hillary Clinton is statistically a 70% chance of winning. If you have that election in 100 parallel worlds, she would have won 70% of the time. And so what we do is we take the outcome in what I call outcome bias. It's, you know, my phrase and something that I came up with, but I think, you know, the idea is not mine. Others might call it survivorship bias. And we take the one who happens to have survived, or the outcome that happened to have occurred, and we think that that is, you know, those people got it right, the people who predicted that. But the people who predicted a Trump victory, by and large, made the same types of mistakes that the people who predicted a Clinton victory made. It's just that they're able to hold on to that being correct in the outcome this one time in this one world. So it's another thing for all of us, but particularly for business owners. You know, if you have a business plan that's a sound business plan, and you're doing things the right way, and you're being humble, and you're being ethical and moral, and you're running a clean and good and hardworking business, and things aren't going your way, of course you should assess what you're doing and what you could improve on. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because the outcome didn't go your way doesn't mean that you're necessarily approaching it improperly, which I think is another huge lesson to learn here from this election.
Great analysis there with that response. Now, lastly, for entrepreneurs and businesses, what is the major takeaway from the election insofar as best practices in forecasting?
Yeah, which is appreciated because, you know, I've thrown a lot out at people, and as soon as you start talking about alternative worlds, people, you know, brains start to spin a little bit. So the opportunity to summarize is appreciated. People should remember that forecasting, whether it's being done by the Pew Research Center or by the federal government or by yourself and your financial, you know, professional in your own business, forecasting is biased at best, you know? And so even if you have sound practices, it is going to have a twinge, a hue of bias in it from the human who is working the forecast. It is absolutely impossible to get rid of your biases completely. And so any forecast you look at, any forecast that you utilize, if you're a business owner and you're utilizing an economic forecast to drive, you know, how much inventory you should stock for the upcoming holiday season, as an example, you got to remember, you have to remember that forecasts at best are biased. And at worst, when it comes to a forecast, if they absolutely do not accommodate randomness in the human element. And that is that any one thing could happen in any which way to change the outcome. And so I see time and time again, entrepreneurs, business owners, and, you know, the electorate, if you will, in terms of our conversation, forgetting that forecasts, not only are they biased at best, but they completely fail to accommodate the human element and the fact that humans are emotional, rash beings who change their minds all the time. I think that largely, you know, using forecasting to learn and assess is good if you do it with a grain of salt. Using forecasting to predict is a recipe for disaster.
Such an interesting topic and always informative on your part, and always appreciate your time as well, Mr. Citrin. If you would, tell our listeners where they can get more information about you and how can one be in contact with you as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. I do a lot of speaking where I go out and talk about how the brain works and how our decisions happen. And the best way to find me is on our website, which is my name, jonathancitrin.com. I have links to all of our social media, phone numbers, email. So just check us out on our website, jonathancitrin.com. We're there and we're waiting for you.
Jonathan, as always, great to have you. Have a fantastic 2017 and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me, as always.
You bet. We have been speaking with Mr. Jonathan Citrin, who is a speaker, author, and financial advisor for over 15 years and has been a public speaker since 2004 and has traveled the world giving lectures and presentations to audiences that include multinational conferences, business professionals, students, and private groups. And for more information and for contact, simply visit jonathancitrin.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.